This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by my appearance tonight on Jesse Waters Primetime. Yes, they supported my appearance so much that they wanted this whole hour to be brought to you by it. I'll have it posted over at youtube.com/JasonRants later on this afternoon if you want to check that out. Lots of news happening all around the world right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Crime.
So there's a guy named Siphon Somvile who lives in Columbia City, the neighborhood in Seattle. And he had a recent run-in with three degenerates, three criminals, who decided they were going to hold him at gunpoint, rob him right outside of his home. Literally outside of his home. All of it was caught on the Ring doorbell webcam that he had installed. The three men were in masks. They approached him. They warned him not to open his front door yet. They demanded his wallet. They demanded his keys. At one point, one of the robbers tried to pull the camera off the house, but the video continues to record. I imagine part of the motivation there was the realization that somehow Ring cameras are amazing quality. Very top-notch quality. I'm always surprised. And that was probably their instinct too. Ooh, someone's going to be able to see that I have this tattoo next to my eye, which is pretty distinct, which will ensure that when police see me, they'll probably suspect me of being the bad guy. So it's an alarming situation, obviously. And the video, which I posted online at twitter.com/JasonRants, it's dramatic.
Yeah, get the rest.
So you can hear him say, let's take him to the ATM. So they had the intent of taking him to an ATM. They didn't, thankfully. But take him to an ATM so that he can use his card to pull out more cash. Apparently, he had about $500 in cash on him at the time. Again, I remind people, if this were to happen to you, always say you've got five times the amount of money in your wallet, unless in this case it was caught on webcam, so I guess you couldn't. Obviously, I'm kidding. So they steal the $500. They force him into the house after they realized no one was inside. They had him sit down in the kitchen quietly while they were searching his home. They ended up leaving. That's when he called 911. And while he's waiting for the police to be able to track down these three suspects, and as of right now, there have not been any arrests. Don't know if there are any suspects, but I haven't seen a report of any arrests. His son is also trying to get the case solved. He posted on the Facebook, on their Facebook page, the Ring doorbell footage, which is where I pulled the video. So again, you can check it out at twitter.com/JasonRants. And they hope if anyone notices who these guys are, spots these guys, make sure that you're calling 911. Anyone who's got information should report this. This is yet another instance of a crime happening in Seattle during the surge that lots of politicians are pretending isn't actually happening, because I don't hear a whole lot of politicians in Seattle saying anything about what's going on. Rarely are they proactive. Every once in a while, a reporter will ask a question, and in fairness to the mayor, he does talk about this from time to time. But it seems like this is the biggest issue facing this area. But instead, what are people complaining about? Oh, we might lose the right to interracial marriage because of Roe v. Wade. Huh? No, that's not an issue. But you might lose your life because of the fact that we don't have a police force that's fully funded and fully staffed, meaning they're not going to be able to proactively police. Do you think that these kinds of crimes would happen in areas that they know, the criminals know, that police have a tendency to drive by? Just part of their shift. Just driving in neighborhoods, just checking things out, making sure everyone feels comfortable, and anything happens, they're able to respond quickly. But really, that's meant to be a disincentive to the criminals, like these three lunatics, these degenerates, who decided to torment this old man. Let's also point out that this is yet another example of an older Asian guy getting robbed, getting targeted. That's one of those issues that no one seems to talk about anymore because Donald Trump isn't in office anymore, and you can't say, well, it's because he blamed China for COVID, all these anti-Asian crimes. But Asian people disproportionately are being targeted. No one's talking about that anymore. Again, how weird. How weird is that? The woke media outlets told us over and over and over again that we better pay attention because of all these MAGA hate crimes. And you're like, well, I mean, a lot of the people who are doing this actually turned out to be black and or homeless. I don't think they're MAGA people. But are we going to go with that in the editorial room? Oh, okay. We'll still do it. Okay. Then King 5 goes out there. Oh, another MAGA suspect. Okay, right. This is absurd, and it's going to continue to happen unless we all demand better. Are you ready to demand better? I'm ready for you to push that button.
What's trending? The sports ball.
Sitting in today for Peyton is Brady, who didn't mention my hair is, as the kids say, fire today. I'm having a particularly good hair day. Thank you for not noticing. I would say the same of you, but I've actually never seen you without your hat on. Nope, keep the hat on. Keep it. No, now that I've seen it. So you're a sports guy. I saw that the Seahawks released their schedule, or the NFL released the schedule, and we got the full schedule for the Seahawks. I'm not an expert, but it feels like it's a hard schedule, particularly the Germany game and then a bye week. Why not have a bye week before Germany?
They want the bye week after so the players have time to recover from whatever they got from over there, jet lag, this
and
that.
Yeah, but they're going to be jet lagged going.
They're going to go probably right after their game the week before is when they're going to fly out, or sometime midweek, so they'll have more time.
That's a 10-hour difference, or maybe an 8.
I believe it is
it's
8.
It's a 10. No, I don't think it's 8. Well, where in Germany are they playing? Berlin?
Munich.
Look that up. It's either 8 or 9, because London is 8, and I believe Germany is 1 hour maybe ahead, but I don't remember. In any case, they're playing at 6:30 a.m. kickoff?
Yes.
That's dumb. How are we supposed to watch? I mean, I'm always up. I don't sleep. But does anyone care about that game then at 6:30? That's not fair.
All right, we were both wrong. It is 10. 9 hours.
No, I said 9. I said it was 1 hour more than the UK, which I think is 8.
Yeah, but you said 10 originally.
Originally, and then I changed my... Shut up. Put your hat back on. So the real takeaway from all of this is not the Germany game. It's the fact that we are playing the team with the horse. The Stallions?
Broncos.
Oh, the Broncos. It's a Bronco. And I think they have a famous quarterback now. It's like Drew Brees or something.
Yeah, they got the Russell Wilson out of Seattle trade.
I see this as an indication from the league that they don't think the Seahawks are going to be good this year. And they're most likely correct based on who's our lead or starting quarterback.
Yet to be determined, yeah. But it's either between Geno Smith or Drew Lock.
So, great options. So, you know, I'm just throwing that out there. Probably going to lose the first game, which is bad. So, you know, I heard on Brian Suit's show this morning, Brian and Greg were talking about the sort of this desire to maybe drag things out a little bit and get some drama, which would make sense if you thought both teams were going to be good. Because what does not add to the drama is a week 6 game in which you're 0-6, right? So it's a little bit of a risk, and I'm certainly hopeful that the Seahawks will do well this season. I'm not going to hold my breath just given a lot of the changes, but I want them to do well. I know nothing about the Broncos, and I imagine there's going to be some growing pains at that point with a brand new quarterback who is insufferable on social media, and maybe they don't want to even play with him because of that. Don't name your stupid dog a Bronco, okay? Just stop. That's a little too much on the nose. Too on the nose, man.
The Broncos are already having problems before the season starts. One of their wide receivers just got arrested.
Yeah, so I look at this, and this to me reads, we don't know how well they're going to do during the season. Probably not going to do well at all. So let's just make it big right at the start.
Yes.
That's how I read this.
So many people were expecting an early in the season return to Seattle for Russell, but not many people put it on week one, which will be, of course, fresh season, fresh fans ready for football, and my guess, a mixture of applause, like, yay, Russ is back, and then a bunch of, boo, you quit on us, you left.
So you think there's going to be more of the boos than the cheers?
How much alcohol is involved?
Well, it's the start of the game, so not it's not going to... I mean, there's
people before the game.
I get that, but not... You're not... Well, what do you think?
I think there's going to be slightly more boos than claps.
Yeah, but he'll pretend that it's all good.
Oh, yeah, he'll do this.
He'll do the little clap and then the little prayer.
He'll point up to Sierra in the sweet box that she doesn't get to have anymore.
Well, she gets some. Does she travel with him?
Depends on the game. I'm assuming back to Seattle she would if she wants to support
her
husband.
We have to close the sale on the house. Does she need to be here for that?
Russell can't.
He's busy. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, we will tell you what you already know, but with some humility from the CEO of Alaska Airlines. Why is their service so garbage right now? He'll explain, but first, traffic, go. Not for nothing, but can we maybe get in her ear and tell her to put a mic cover on her microphone so I don't have to hear...
Oh, that was... I'm just throwing that. I was annoyed with the... on all the hard S's.
It's just... It's, we need... If I take off this microphone, if I start to say, welcome back to the Jason Rant Show, this is how it's going to sound once I take off my microphone.
Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show.
See, that's how it sounds when I take off my mic sleeve. Okay, push the button.
What's trending? Happening now.
CEO of Alaska Airlines, his name is Ben Minuchich. And he is apologizing because the service from Alaska has been garbage. Absolute garbage. It's been embarrassing. Embarrassing. It's almost to the point of, if not now, maybe worse than Spirit. I said that. I've gone there.
Can you get worse than Spirit?
I think so. Because they are canceling flights left and right. And then when you call to get rebooked or just call to do anything, the wait time, as I learned yesterday, is 4 to 5 hours. It is absolute garbage and unacceptable from Alaska. So last night, he sends an email to employees. He follows up this morning with an email to customers. In that email that I saw early this morning, it included a video apology as well as an explanation as to what's going on. Here he is explaining.
Simply put, we had 63 fewer pilots than what we planned for when we built our schedule. By the time we caught this error, April and May schedules were bid on by our pilots and flight attendants, making it impossible to sufficiently adjust schedules to avoid cancellations. This error is having a continued ripple effect for May. Of the 1,200 flights that we operate every day, we've been canceling about 50 of them. That's about 4%.
I can do math.
A canceled flight is frustrating enough, but then you often face long hold times when you're trying to reach someone in reservations.
So in other words, you just wanted to tell us what we already knew and were experiencing, but I guess there might be something to having someone admit that it's happening so we're not being gaslit the entire time. I suppose. But obviously, this is a huge problem. And unfortunately, it doesn't sound like it's going to get better in the near future, but there's a plan once we get deeper into the summer.
This is coming at a time when flights are already full, so rebooking options are limited. Even though we made immediate changes, it takes some time for a complex operation to turn the corner. The month of May will continue to be choppy, and we're doing everything we can to minimize the impact on you.
He should have said turbulent, not choppy, even though choppy is more water thing, but he should have said,
we don't need any puns during that.
I know things are turbulent right now. I get it.
For June and beyond, we've made significant changes to ensure a high degree of reliability. This includes hiring and training 150 new pilots, 200 additional reservation agents, and 1,100 new flight attendants.
Yay! So he outlined the plan, as you just started to hear there. On top of that, he says he's going to have centralized staff and schedule planning under one team in management instead of how it currently is, which presumably means it's across several teams. They're going to prioritize the hiring. They're going to create different and better workflow, I guess. Now, he did end up saying... none of what happened has anything to do with the pilot union strike or the vote that's happening right now. This is just merely our screw up. It just took us a really long time to admit it. like a really long time. And it got to the point where Jason Rantz yesterday had to go on Twitter with his blue check mark in front of his 90,000 plus followers to call us out. And now I feel the need that I have to send out a video. Yes, I believe the two are connected. Can you prove otherwise? Exactly. So push the button.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
This story is out of Omaha, where I'm told by Fox, losing a shoe at the start of a race is the kind of mishap that would leave some runners too flustered to finish. But not 7-year-old Talia Crawford. She's now going viral. A video of her race, track and field, because she ended up winning the race. Despite having to lose the shoe, put the shoe back on, and then catch up, she ends up winning because she was racing against the slowest 7-year-old runners in the history of track. I know people will love to celebrate a story like this, and it is kind of cute, I suppose. And I'm sure she's an adorable 7-year-old girl and future superstar athlete whose name we will forget by the end of this segment. Whose name, if I'm being honest, I've already forgotten. Let me look at my notes. Talia. God bless her. But if you win under those circumstances, we can acknowledge that the other racers were really bad. It's not dismissing her win, a little bit, I guess. But she still won, and kudos to her. And she won by a lot, it looked like. So imagine if she didn't get stopped. So is she really 7, or is she a 12-year-old who looks like she's 7? Is there any juicing going on here? How did she do so well?
You're talking like it's a Benchwarmers reference where they pull out the $20 bill and go, I am 12.
I'm just saying, she did awfully well for someone who was behind by 10 seconds.
I feel like that's because at that age, a lot of kids don't want to be in sports, and she's that one kid that does want to be in sports.
Fair enough. I don't know what kind of shoes these people wear, like racers wear, but do they not have laces? How'd she get the shoe back on so quickly?
They do have laces at this age group. They wouldn't have spikes on the bottom like most track and field runners
would. I bet you it's just Velcro. So here's some, let's listen to the audio from the video that went viral, because I can tell you that as of now, it's got like a billion views.
Hey, I want to knock
you. She ran out her shoe.
Aww. We trained so hard for this.
Talia.
You better win. Get it, Lele.
Good job, Lele.
Let's go, Lele. Let's go, Lele.
I feel like they could have been a little bit more supportive, but she ends up winning. The video has gone viral. 9.6 million views as of this morning, so I'm going to assume we're probably around the 10 million view mark on Twitter. She also had an Instagram video go viral as well. It turns out her father is a world champion boxer, which doesn't really explain why she's so fast. Who in God's name is that? I've never heard of him. Is he really a world champion?
Yes, Terrence.
This world?
This world, yes. Terrence Crawford, American professional boxer, as everybody now knows. He has held 3 different weight class belts and championships, including the welterweight, lightweight, and light welterweight.
So he's a little scrawny guy.
Yes.
Who's probably fast.
He's probably fast, probably got quick hands.
Quick instincts and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
When was he a winner?
2018. So fairly recent.
I've never heard of this, but not that I know that many boxers, but I suppose.
I don't watch boxing, so I
wonder
know.
If he's a big deal. Well, now he's been eclipsed by his daughter, who's only 7, so I guess you're not that big of a deal, because I know Talayla's name.
She has more views on that video than his probably entire pay-per-view boxing career.
Oh, 100%. The light welterweight, does anyone even watch those fights? Isn't that the one that happens before the pre-fight?
No,
like,
that's
not even on television?
That's just the weight class in you're in. The way you get to a championship, the championships are the main card. The ones that aren't belt fights are more of the lower prelim fights.
Did you just try to one-up me on my own show? You just tried to put me in my place on a sports topic, something of which you know nothing about and I know everything about? Is that what you just tried to do?
I guess so.
That seems like a mistake.
Oof.
Let's see, you and I have a comp. Put the hat back on. I don't want to see your hair. Push the button. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. We are live on this Friday afternoon. What's the weather now? It's back to... Yeah, it's back to gloomy and overcast. It's been starting every single day this week. It's been crummy in the morning, and then it gets gorgeous in the afternoon and weirdly into the evening. But because it's a weekend that we're heading into, they decided Mother Nature, but who am I to say Mother, nature of a certain gender that's non-binary, apparently didn't want us to be happy. So I guess we can't be happy. Netflix makes me happy now. I am now a big fan of Netflix. And while I canceled my Netflix due to nothing more than I just didn't like the service and wasn't using it, I had nothing to do politically, I almost feel the desire to become a subscriber after the sort of the leadership, the management sent out this memo to all of its employees. But really, it was to the woke employees. And they did something that is beautiful. They said, if you don't like working here because you might get offended by some of the content that's a little bit too against your personal beliefs, go work for Disney. I hear they're in the market for the wokesters. Don't work here. We don't want you. Go pound sand. We're done with you. And I love that. By corporate speak, the memo is very aggressive. For corporate memos, this is aggressive. It's titled Netflix Culture Seeking Excellence. Now, that doesn't sound very interesting at all, right? Kind of sounds like the boilerplate memo you might send to staff. Talking about, oh, we're a family. Except they specifically say, we're not a family. In this memo, it says, as employees, we support the principle that Netflix offers a diversity of stories, even if we find some titles counter to our own personal values. Depending on your role, you may need to work on titles you perceive to be harmful. If you'd find it hard to support our content breadth, Netflix may not be the best place for you. So in other words, oh, some of this offends you and you don't want to do the job because you're offended. Okay, don't work here. Don't work here. You don't have to work here. If you don't like that we have Dave Chappelle comedy because he makes a joke about transgender you don't like, go work somewhere else. They don't have Dave Chappelle material at Disney Plus. Go work for them. You're not welcome here. And I love this because, again, I kind of jokingly said, we're all a family. Those are kind of the memos you get from corporations. And the whole time it's like, we are not a family. I want nothing to do with that dude over there. If he's in my family, I am embarrassed. This is what they write. We model ourselves on being a professional sports team, not a family. A family is about unconditional love. A dream team is about pushing yourself to be the best possible teammate, caring intensely about your team, and knowing that you may not be on the team forever. I think it's pretty clear where they stand. And what I'm curious to find out is whether or not we will see an exodus of staff from Netflix, because I recall very clearly that big old protest that happened outside of Netflix HQ in Los Angeles. This was a protest because of the Dave Chappelle comedy special. Now, granted, not everyone who showed up actually worked at Netflix. This was a contrived push by the activist community, but there were quite a few Netflix employees, they said they were, saying, I will push back at this culture. This is not the company I sign up for. Okay, quit. They just told you to quit. Or you can actually just put your head down and do your job. This idea that you go work for a content company, a content distribution, content creation company, and you have this expectation that all the content, all the artistic expression, whether it's in a scripted format for a film or in a comedy special, all of it is supposed to abide by your personal beliefs. You think we care what Don in accounting has to say about anything political? No one cares. No one cares. The person who's putting a rating on some of the content thus has to actually watch the content. You think we care whether or not you believe in the perspective of the stand-up comic who's performing the actual stand-up comedy? You think anyone cares? You think anyone's paying $14.99 to $24.99, whatever package you have, to hear what you have to say or what Dave Chappelle has to say? And if you think the answer is what you have to say or what you have to say actually matters, you definitely don't belong here. Get out. I work in a building that has three radio stations and a website. Not everyone agrees politically across the board on topics. You have some people who are pretty far to the left. You have some people who are far to the right. You have some people who are down the middle. You have others who are sometimes leaning in both directions. They're politically bisexual. Should I be upset with my employer because on another station that's not a conservative talk station, they might have someone who's liberal? Am I supposed to expect that Bonneville, which is our parent company, is going to fire that person, should get rid of that person? No. I will secretly try to destroy their careers behind their back so they're not employed here anymore and never make eye contact with them whatsoever. And sometimes when they leave their computers on logged into their email, I'll send out inappropriate emails in their name. But I would not expect that Bonneville is going to fire them because they have a different viewpoint than I do. That is absurd. Why? Because I know going in, I work in a place that, guess what, has a whole different group of people with different perspectives. And we are in the business of creating content, telling news, analyzing news, giving our opinion. And it is okay that others hold a different viewpoint than I do in this building. I do not care. I do not care. And if I did care, guess what I would do? I wouldn't work here. I would work somewhere else. Just like every single snowflake over there at Netflix. You don't like the content, work somewhere else. They write, entertaining the world is an amazing opportunity and also a challenge because viewers have very different tastes and points of view. So we offer a wide variety of TV shows and movies, some of which can be provocative. To help members make informed choices about what to watch, we offer ratings, content warnings, and easy-to-use parental controls. Not everyone will like or agree with everything on our service. While every title is different, we approach them based on the same set of principles. We support the artistic expression of the creators we choose to work with. We program for a diversity of audiences and tastes. And we let viewers decide what's appropriate for them versus having Netflix censor specific artists or voices. That is the correct way to run a company like this. A company in a landscape where activists are very quick to try to create a little mob, fake pressure, and get you to take different stances, censor content, or take political views, which is what they did on Disney. Netflix just suffered a huge loss of subscribers. And I said at the time, I think part of that is because they leaned a little bit too much into the wokeness, or it was perceived they did. This is them course correcting. And I was on with Guy Benson earlier today, and we talked about this, and he said, you know, he was calling it a small victory. I said, I disagree. I think this is a huge victory because this is a major corporation that's taking this stance. And it sometimes takes one corporation, just like one person, to stand up and say enough is enough, to then inspire others to do exactly that. So I hope what comes after this is Hulu comes out and says, yeah, enough is enough. You don't like the content here? Go work somewhere else. Or Amazon Prime, you don't like it here? Go work somewhere else. I wish that Disney Plus and Disney would do that. Be apolitical. They don't appear to be interested in that. And that, therefore, go work there if you don't like it. I love this. I'm still not going to get my Netflix account turned back on because I got HBO Max and that's the best one. They better not get woke. If they get woke, I'm out. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text. If you text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-877, I'll send you a link to my blog. Right now, let's get you home the right way with Right Way Traffic. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show on KTTH. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, if you ever miss a moment of this show or the Brian Suit Show, heard weekday morning 6 to 9, you can always become a podcast subscriber. That way you can even relive the best moments, which means you'll just be listening over and over and over again, a loop of the same show until a new one gets populated. Text the keyword podcast to 1-800-465-8770. I want to bring you to a controversy in Barrington, Rhode Island. Now, it's a city you've never heard of in a state that you've probably forgotten actually exists, although it's not like the forgotten state. Oh my gosh, what is it called? Delaware. Parents there are livid, and they have the right to be. And this is an issue that isn't just exclusive to Barrington. It's an issue that's happening right here in Washington State, in Seattle, in Vancouver, where you've got folks all in the name of equity trying to get rid of honors programs, any sort of advanced learning cohorts, where students are sometimes, quote unquote, disproportionately white. And as a result, it means that there's racism at play because the left is not about equal opportunity, equal access. They want equal outcomes. And so if you don't have virtually the same number of black students as white, or Asian students as white, or Latino, Native American, gay, straight, Muslim, whatever, as white kids in a program, it means that there's some sort of institutionalized bigotry going on. It's a system of oppression that must be dismantled and rebuilt. Except in this case, for honors programs, honors courses, they're not rebuilding them. They're just dismantling them. They're absolutely livid, these parents in Rhode Island.
I know for a fact over 1,300 flags in opposition to what you implemented last year for my daughter, who's a sophomore, who has lost out on opportunities, which now I'm learning could affect merit scholarships for her, which I think is appalling. You don't really know what you're doing on this.
They don't know what they're doing on this. They are hurting kids for being too smart because they're smart and are the wrong skin color. And thus, we are willing to sacrifice their advancement, their opportunities for scholarships, because they're too smart and too white. Shame on any district that does this. Here's a parent who's fed up. He's a dentist. He is the kid of immigrant parents from Mexico. They came to this country. And they came to this country presumably to give him a better life filled with more opportunities, the kinds of opportunities that allowed him to become a dentist. Now he's not just a dentist, but he's also a father. And he wants the opportunities that he was given for other students, other kids, his own.
My son, he's 6 years old. He's a kindergartner. You know what he says when he wants to, what he wants to be when he grows up? He wants to be a dentist. So it sounds like he's going to have to take honors classes, right? So I pay all these taxes, which I can afford the taxes. It's no big deal. If you double them, it's fine. It doesn't bother me. But I'm not going to sit through a school district that's not going to give my son a chance to fulfill his dream of following him in his daddy's footsteps.
Good for him.
The words diversity, equity, and inclusion, like, that's really just radical left language. It used to be radical left languages. You brought it to the mainstream. That's what it is. You've normalized that type of language. But that's your reason for everything that you do. But it doesn't actually take into account what I think.
Exactly. Because they don't care what you think. You know, they say they do things for minority communities, whether someone's black or Muslim, gay or trans, whatever it happens to be. They look at marginalized communities and they're trying to help you, they say, but they're not willing to listen to you, particularly if you don't hold the exact view that they want you to hold. And for the most part, though not exclusively, but for the most part, we're talking about white people, white progressives, who are basically taking these positions that you don't matter. Your position doesn't matter. And it is, of course, absurd, and it's hurting people. He went on.
I'm a person that picked myself up. I was the first one in my family to go to college. No one told me how to do it. I had to do it for myself. This whole diversity, equity, and inclusion, that's not really what you want. That's just your way of saying something
to shut
someone up. Because I've heard it firsthand. Someone saying, oh, you're not for this. That means you must be a segregationist. I've heard it firsthand. That's the argument that you guys are putting. You put a fence up and you say, if you're not for this and you're against it, and you're a bad person. But you know what? All of you guys probably have dentists. If you guys really believe in that, then pick an average or below average dentist and see what you get. But that's not what you guys do. You guys look at ratings and you pick the best that's available.
He's 100% right, as if someone has to be ashamed because they're better at something than someone else. And, you know, what goes into this is this condescending attitude that the only reason that you are succeeding is because someone else was held back. Sorry, that's not true. Sometimes others will excel because they work harder. Sometimes they work harder and they benefit from that. Doesn't make them a better person. It makes them better at you than on one specific issue or many. Sometimes they are, in fact, privileged to get extra tutoring. Well, guess what? They still have to do the work. Anyone who's got kids who sees a tutor knows that when you're not doing the work, just because you have a tutor doesn't mean anything. Right? It doesn't necessarily mean that all of a sudden you're going to be seen, you're going to start getting straight A's because, well, I got a tutor. Well, are you meeting with the tutor? No, but I got a tutor, so that obviously means that it's going to work. That's not how it works. It is remarkable, remarkable that the left doesn't see what they're doing or just doesn't care what they're doing to kids. And parents are sick of it. I said this on Fox News earlier this week, I think on Wednesday, that parents are seen as irritants to the left. Because parents like that father and that mother that we played, they show up to meetings and they push back. They say, enough is enough. We don't like what you're doing. And they get passionate, which means sometimes they raise their voices. Sometimes they get a little snarky. Yeah, sometimes they get aggressive. They're feeling that way because you are hurting their kids, and a parent is always going to stand up for their kids. A parent will always stand up for their sons and daughters. They're the ones, the only ones, who will ever truly have their backs when we're talking about the education system. They're the ones who are supposed to take on that role of guardian, of protector. And when you get in the way, they're going to push back hard, and they have every right to. But to the left, to these left-wing school boards, to these left-wing administrators, superintendents, and what have you, parents are merely irritants when they push back on the things that you want them to do, that they want them to do. The fact of the matter is, the Democrat Party believes that they should usurp the power of parents. That's what they believe. That they should be the actual parents because they know what's best for your kid, not you. That should, of course, terrify the heck out of you, that kind of position, but that's what they believe. And that's why you see such pushback. You know, earlier this week, despite the fact that the Biden administration, in particular, Attorney General Merrick Garland, claimed that they never targeted parents at the FBI level or the national level, targeting parents who were pushing back at example for example, at COVID policies that were being put in place in schools. They're not domestic terrorists. Yeah, well, now we have whistleblower accounts suggesting you did, in fact, do that. You did just that. You lied. Why? Because you believe them to be irritants and you want total control. And the smart parents, the great parents, the ones who are woke to what's really going on, won't allow you to take that kind of control. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation and send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. It's the Jason Rant Show.